I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And that is us for a Monday evening. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us as we are here until 9 o'clock. Larry Bluestein, Tito Bonacci, and a lot to get to. And certainly this is a huge week. No doubt if you're a high school football fan, recruiting fan, or whatever you may be as far as football, this is huge. Huge week because a lot of district championships are up for grabs. The points, the seedings, everything that's going to get our local teams into the playoffs will culminate this week, pretty much. 95% to 99%. The district titles, the seeds, we're excited about that as well. Huge game also on Friday night, 7:30 at Traz Powell Stadium. May not get any bigger for a district title game than Carroll City and Central. Two nationally rated teams, 1 and 2 in the state of Florida. I can't, who's going to say anymore? I mean, if you can go, go. I know, there's big games everywhere this week. So obviously you're not going to be able to get to every single game. But if you don't have a team or a horse in the race, as they say, I would head over to Traz Powell. Could be sold out. So I would call Central or Carroll City. Actually, Central's the home team, and find out the status there. Big show, as we said, assistant coach for Southridge, a team that could wrap up the district title on Friday against South Dade. Cedric Irvin will join us, talk about this year's Spartans and Coach Knight and himself and the great staff that they put together at Southridge this year. We'll talk to him about 8:45 or so. At 8:30, Dakota Wilson will fill us in on USF, undefeated USF, playing Houston this week. Could be a pretty good game. But not only that, as we said this year, a couple of South Floridians like Jamal Horn, who started out and had big things, a South Floridian. And then Johnny Ford decided to carry 7 times for 170 yards, 160 yards, and some touchdowns. And Johnny from Miami High as well. So we'll talk to Dakota Wilson at 8:30. At 8:20. Toriano Morgan, the head coach at Dillard, will join us. This is a program that also could wrap up a district title with a win against Boynton Beach, and it's his first year there. And certainly, I believe 6-2, which is not, and including a win over Western. I think it's Western's only loss. So that will come up as well. Speaking about Western, as we were, a big game coming up on Friday as well. At Miramar, I was at the game last year. Very entertaining when it was at Western, between Western and Miramar. This year, obviously, everything's on the line. Miramar in a must-win situation to put this into a 3-way tie. And somebody who's really gotten it done all year, off-season, right into the season, is a sophomore quarterback who is really, really an outstanding kid, plus a great athlete, Sedquan Smith. He joins us this evening. Sedquan, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, how you doing, Larry?
Good. I'm not going to complain. This is an awesome week. I mean, you heard me build up with all these teams. You know, I mean, you know all those kids, Carroll City Central, you guys in Western, North Miami, Hialeah. You go on and on and on. There's some really big games taking place this week. But as far as you're concerned, none bigger that's taking place at your house on Friday evening. Talk about that game. I mean, this is you know, last year Western and you guys came down to the wire, a big win for Miramar to get the number one seed. Talk about the approach you guys have this year coming in, because you've played very well in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I played good, but Western, they come into play, you know, just for the district championship. We're 5-3, so you know we gotta come to that game. You know, we gotta win that game in order to be eligible for the playoffs. But me and my team, you know, we coming together. Coach AJ and his staff, you know, have a great coaching staff.
Yeah, no doubt. Saquon, also, you started off the season. I mean, let's be fair. I mean, you guys played two pretty decent teams right out the box. And that was designed to get you guys to this point where you're at playing for, you know, at least to try to get a three-way tie in the district. Talk about that as well, because I thought you guys played well at times in the first half of the season. I thought you played well against Plantation the entire game, and that was like one of the more entertaining games. What do you think has happened between that second game of the season and now where you're at heading into this game this week?
It's a lot of adversity. I ain't getting to know my team how I know them right now. Believing them, trusting them. No, that's really it.
And you look at some of these players. I mean, you look at that offensive line. The way I've seen it, I think this offensive line has matured. You have a lot of quality players. They give you at least enough time to spot a receiver or get a playoff. Talk about that, because I think that's important too, because the lines never get, you know, they never get any of the spotlight.
I have a tremendous line. They all see us. Center, left guard, right guard. Yeah, they all see us. I mean, they played some big games last year, like St. Thomas, Western.
Yep.
They played Park Vista. So, you know, they well experienced. So I just came in this season, you know, took the keys. You know, it's just a ship that I got to drive.
Yeah.
And build my team, that's all.
And you're doing a great job. Saquon Smith, just a sophomore at Miramar High School, quarterback, and somebody who learned quickly. I mean, you just jumped into this. You grew a little bit more in the off season. What do you think the thing that you've improved the most in the past year? Well, actually, maybe in the past 6-7 months. What do you think that you've improved on most?
I definitely improved on my coachability and definitely adversity. I have reached like I say, first game we played Miami Northwestern, 6A title state team. Second team we played was Heritage, big team. Third team we played was Plantation, our district head to head on champ. So, you know, back to back, it was a lot of adversity, but I'm coming along now.
Yeah.
It's a good process.
And also, too, you have some playmakers, some receivers that have stepped up for you, running game that's starting to click a little bit, getting some chunks of yards to try to keep the pressure off of you. Talk about that, because I think as an offense, you got to be balanced. I mean, I know you have the wheels to run when you need to, but you'd much rather put that in the hands of a running back. How have you added balance? Because I know you like to throw, but you also have a good running game, too.
Yeah, I have a tremendous running game. You know, my receivers, they untouchable. I call them untouchable. I love them. You know, put the ball in their hands, they playmakers. I trust them with the ball. Throw it, they're going to go get it. They have a good run game, good O-line. It's just, oh, man, it's amazing.
And this school, too, Saquon, has been known as the dark side with the defense, an awesome defense over the years. You know, a lot of the coaches are still around, a lot of them firing them up. Talk about the dark side in 2018, you know, and because I've watched you. They're quick. They're big up front. They put pressure on. Talk about that and how you work against them in practice.
I mean, they bullies, you know. They bullies. Yeah, but defense win games, so you got to come clutch with the defense. But the defense, I have a real tremendous defense from secondary to the trenches.
Yeah,
that's why they call it dark side.
No doubt.
Dark side.
Good stuff, man. I just wanted to get you on. Best of luck this week. I know it's going to be a great game. A lot of people are going to be on hand for it. I mean, a win by Miramar sends this thing into a three-way tie, and exciting football. One of the most competitive 8A districts around. Saquon Smith, thanks so much for taking the time. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Anytime. I'll tell you what, this kid, if you had a chance to watch him, left-handed quarterback, he's got great accuracy, he's getting taller, he runs, and Miramar's in good hands with him. I'll tell you what, he has an opportunity to be really special over the next couple of years. Speaking about special, Dillard, the Panthers, are doing a tremendous job. you know, you can't say enough. I mean, they always have the talent. They've gone through some coaching changes over the last couple of years. Toriano Morgan, who, as we say, who we had on a couple of times already since he's gotten the job. He's a great guy. Not only that, he's a teacher, and he's been through the college ranks. And when you bring that back a little bit and you try to run your practices in that manner, you'd be surprised how much better your football team gets and how much more discipline your players get. We'll talk to him, and also Dakota Wilson from USF. The Bulls are still hanging in there undefeated when we come back. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Damn, I'm so Katrina, smarter than a lot.
Back with
of
you on a South Florida High School sports show for a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein, Tito Banach, and we thank so much Saquon Smith from Miramar, sophomore quarterback, for joining us in our first segment. As I said, big games this week, district titles on the line. This is it. I mean, this is what you work for. This is what you do from the end of December all the way up until the last week of August. You prepare for this time, and certainly one of the teams getting ready to clinch a district, a big game this week against Boynton Beach. Dillard. And no surprise that this team is always in the mix, but this year looking really good. And huge wins. First-year head coach Toriano Morgan, he joins us. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time, and great start.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I know this is exciting for the entire Panther Nation. I mean, this is a program, as you and I talked the last couple times, steeped in a lot of tradition, a lot of alumni just waiting for the opportune time to come to games and cheer on their programs. As I said, nobody does a better homecoming than Dillard. I mean, I'm telling you, when they get it in gear, I mean, it's big time in their generations, and they recognize everybody, and it's one of those community schools, Coach, and I know that you've embraced it and love it. Talk about this year so far.
This year has been awesome. You know, we were able to get the season rolling. You know, we had to grow up real quick. You know, our first three games out of the gate, you know, we're against some really good opponents. But it taught us a lot about who we were, a lot about what we can do, what we do well. And just from that, you know, we just took those experiences. We experienced a loss to Booker T week one. We were able to come back week two, put some things back together, and got a big win against Western week two. And then, you know, we had Cardinal Gibbons week three, and those three games really helped us identify who we really were. And then we've been able to kind of put together a little streak here going into this week against Boynton. So, you know, first things first, we want to take care of the district, and, you know, we positioned ourselves to do that. So Friday night, we just want to go out and take care of our first goal.
Yeah, I mean, and you've done a tremendous job, and like you said, a district championships, key wins, and nowadays with the point system being so, you know, so impressive and so, you know, vital, I mean, getting those games and a win against Western, which was their only loss. So you have those type of points and the Gibbons type of points and playing quality football programs along the line, and obviously going up this week and playing a Boynton Beach team. Coach Crudup always has some really good athletes. And then closing things out with arguably the most important game to a lot of people on that schedule is Ely. So, you know, I mean, obviously your season's far from over. You're going to be a playoff team and certainly one that has worked extremely hard. Talk about the process, because now every time you and I talk, you climb bigger mountains and get over bigger obstacles, and now you're one of the guys. Now you're just one of the guys. I mean, you're walking the hall. I mean, and everybody expects you to do this every week. But I know it's come with a lot of sacrifices, not only from yourself, but a lot of the kids and a lot of the assistant coaches as well.
And definitely, that's where I start. Our coaching staff has been phenomenal. week in and week out. Coach Flowers with the defense, Coach Rainey with the offense, getting them prepared, getting them to buy into what we're doing. From the kids' standpoint, I couldn't have asked for a better group. To put the icing on the cake, we ended up getting five freshmen that are starting now.
Wow!
So I can't even call them freshmen anymore.
No.
At this point, they're grown up and ready to go, and they're not just playing; they're contributing. So. With that, you get your nucleus, and I guess the blessing in disguise with it is they're still at the point to where they just come out and play football every week. They're not looking at the big picture. They're just still doing it in its most pure form.
Yeah.
So with that, talks about who we're playing, the streaks and everything, it really just doesn't mean anything to them at this point because, they're kind of just bought in, locked in, and they're week to week, and they taste a little bit of success, and when you can get them in at the ground level like that, everybody's bought in, and just mix it with a group that's returned that will be back-to-back district champs. You got a good mess going there. So, we just continue to stir the pot and try not to contaminate.
No. Just keep things going the way they are.
Right.
Hey, Coach Tordiano Morgan joins us, Fort Lauderdale's Dillard High School. Coach, also, these kids aren't that far removed from seeing John Ford and those kids like that who've gone on to the next level and are playing at schools like Miami and playing in the SEC. And these are all Dillard kids. And certainly gives a lot of these young men an opportunity to understand that it could be them as well.
Right. Just last week was homecoming. So a lot of those guys got the opportunity to come back and speak to them. We have Bryce Oliver on the sideline. So the guys got a chance to kind of see firsthand what they're striving for. Their goal is to go on to the next level and play football, and being able to, put a name and a face with it right there on your sideline. And just a year ago, they were standing right where you're standing now, just kind of drives it home. So it was good to have those guys back, and be able to root for these guys and have these guys see something that, Dillard has been known for, and that's producing good student athletes that go off around the country to become great football players.
Yeah, no doubt. And you take a look and finally taking a look at some of these kids this year that had that opportunity to grow. But some of these guys that have been here through three coaches, and they've endured it, and now they're seniors, and now they're the leaders, and everybody looks at them and says, hey, you know what? He's been through a heck of a lot. He played for coach, and he played for this coach, and he played for that coach, but he's still here and he's still doing the job. Talk about those type of kids, because I think that's so valuable to understand in this day of kids running to other schools real quickly when there's adversity in front of them. You had a bunch of kids that stayed around,
and that's a true testament to the tradition of Dillard. So from that standpoint, it's driving motivation for me to not want to let these guys down, because they have endured. Anytime you go over a turnover of three coaches in as many years, sometimes the kids do get lost in the shuffle. So one of the things that we did as a staff, we wanted to show these young men that we were equally committed, not just to them, but to winning and ensuring that they got the best opportunity to position themselves to go on, further their football careers or whatever walk of life they wanted to go. And I think that was the biggest win of the season. We got them to be able to buy into that at the beginning of the season. So it's paid dividends in the end. And I do think the timing of the hiring did help as well. I think they were just so ready to get to work, to get back in the weight room, to get on the field, and to put it all together. They did realize that, time wasn't on their side to kind of straddle the fence. So it caused them to buy in much quickly. And again, we're right now reaping the benefits of it.
Yeah, and no doubt, and you always get an opportunity, especially at Dillard, because college coaches are not stupid. They know where to go. Even if there's nobody now, there could be a freshman like last year, you know, your receiver from last year who is really special. Those type of kids like that who could be and like I said, you know, we were watching 3 years ago when the defense, all five of those defensive linemen are now at a major college, so anything could happen. Like I said, you take a look, Coach, at the talent level, at the coaching that you have, at the community. To me, I always compare Dillard to Northwestern in the fact that they're both community-based schools, and a majority of the kids that live in the neighborhood go there. And that's very rare nowadays to see that, you know, anywhere in South Florida. But I like that part of that school. It's a tremendous academic school. They give the kids a lot of choices in the classroom, a lot of vocations, and I like that. I think that's you know, kind of balancing things out, knowing that every kid's not going to be a college kid, but there's always something out there waiting for them. And I do appreciate you taking your time out of your busy week. I know this is a big week for you. Best of luck on Friday. Congratulations, Coach.
I appreciate it, and thank you, and we appreciate all you do for South Florida high school football.
And thank you so much. Coach Toriano Morgan, Dillard High School, like I said, they're on the rampage. They're 6-2, big wins, and just getting those points. When you play those better teams, I mean, you get points for playing them, but when you beat them, I mean, it kind of really kicks in. Speaking about kicking in, if you've watched the University of South Florida this year, close games, but at the same time getting a chance to play a host of young players early on in the season. We saw the Kid Horn from Miramar get an opportunity to do what he does. Last week, Johnny Ford, who we all always knew is going to be, you know, just one of those guys that could play at any level at any time. But in between that, valuable experience in those close games. One of the guys who's on top of this 365, every time I'm over at USF, he's always around, knows everybody, knows the landscape of USF, but also pulses a lot of the recruiting. Dakota Wilson from 247, he joins us this evening. Dakota, thanks so much for taking the time. Good time to be a Bull, huh?
Yes, sir, 7-0.
Yeah, sitting on the top. I mean, you talk to Tito over here, and he's like thinking they're 0-7. You're always going to play close games, obviously, and especially with a young team like that. Talk about that, because I guess every game keeps you excited and in there to the end.
Yeah, the Bulls have certainly induced some stress on the heart this year. They've played a lot of teams close, and a lot of teams they've seemed to play kind of almost down to their competition this year, and it's really causes strain on a lot of the fan base, especially myself included.
But you love this stuff. Guys are sitting on top of the heap. A lot of the I know from just talking to some of the kids, you've had a lot of visitors this year, a lot of recruits at all the home games. Not just from the Tampa Bay area, but throughout the state. Talk about that, because I think that's really one of the most important things. We talked to UCF about it. We talked to FAU and FIU. When you start winning, there's just something about a kid saying, "Yeah, I'll go to the USF game this week." Instead of talk about that, because I think having recruits there and then getting an opportunity to see the stadium they'll be playing in and the product on the field's got to be exciting.
Oh yeah, well USF, they're 35-6 over the last 41 games. I think that's top five in the nation for wins over that time period. So yeah, when you sustain a culture of winning like that, kids are definitely going to be intrigued about what's going on over there, and I think that's what we're seeing happen right now. And then, like you mentioned, with Raymond James Stadium, they get to see not only where the USF Bulls play, but where they could be playing on Sundays with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing there. And I think that's a huge asset when it comes to recruiting.
And, a lot of people in South Florida don't feel that way about playing at the same stadium as the Dolphins. They feel it's like not having their own identity. Talk to them about it, because there's a lot to be said about suiting up in an NFL stadium and playing on an NFL field. I mean, you're going to get the best of the best. Talk about the advantages, because I don't think the people down in Miami think that's such an advantage.
Well, I really haven't talked to a kid who's had a complaint about the stadium. Everybody that I've talked to absolutely loves it when they play there, because, if you think about it, that's where the top tier of, well, maybe not the Bucks recently, but that's the top tier of NFL, the top tier of athlete in your sport, and that's where they play, and that's where you can kind of picture yourself playing at, and I think that has a lot to do with the reason they like it so much.
Yeah, no doubt. Dakota Wilson joining us. He covers the University of South Florida every day. He knows the pulse of what's going on. You take a look at recruiting. Obviously, every week, every home game, they have a set of kids that they're really interested in. Have you seen a lot more of the, you know, I mean, I know a lot of kids will go, but I mean, a lot more of the quality kids, the kids that, you know, that they're really, really in, like with maybe a couple of other larger schools. Have you seen those type of kids from the Tampa Bay area show up?
Oh, of course. Yeah, we've had pretty much every game. I think there's been a commit from from a Power 5 school or somebody that's getting Power 5 looks. And even some of our commits you see kind of later here in the recruiting cycle, they're starting to get looks from schools like UF, Washington State,
nice.
Rutgers, Syracuse. So some Power 5 interest is coming in here late.
And, you know, also, Dakota, when you take a look at some of these kids that are performing and they're freshmen and they're sophomores, you take a look at, you know, we bring up Johnny Ford, who was at Miami High last year at this time. You take a look at some of the kids who have been able to get on the field over the last couple of years that are known in the South Florida area. That's got to be a huge asset. And that's got to be something from a recruiting standpoint that's got to be just priceless, because you don't even have to tell a kid, he could see it for himself. Where those kids, like, you know, how many times you'll see a recruit is sitting in the stands and go, wow, I just played against that guy last year, and he's playing against Georgia Tech now. So there's got to be a huge advantage of that.
Oh, of course. Like you said, they see that early playing time, and that's like every kid. I mean, I don't know a single football player that doesn't want to come in and make an early impact. And you see, even along the offensive line, there's two true freshmen starting at the offensive line. This team is a really young team, and it's been really a great asset in recruiting that you can kind of say, here at USF, you can come in, and if you're the best man, I don't care if you're a freshman, you're going to play.
This week, Houston, a really good football program. I mean, they always – because, you know, when you think of Houston, you think of Florida as far as the recruiting end of things, and they always – you know, even though they may not get the kids that Texas and Oklahoma are getting, they're getting kids that are pretty good. Talk about them, I mean, because that's a program that will provide quite the opposition this week, and it could be one of the best games around.
Yeah, they've been able to sustain quite a good program over there in Houston, even after Tom Herman's left. They're really coming along this season, sitting at 6-1, and they got a really talented guy at quarterback, De'Ara King, and then they have a real, obviously everybody knows their workhorse on defense, Ed Oliver, and they've been playing very well this season, so that's going to be a really good game Saturday and a very big test for USF.
And a good showcase for the conference, which is right now, as we said, has two undefeated teams, and UCF, USF, two teams that are, you know, highly regarded. USF, you know, this year, you know, coming around and get, like you said, you know, it's not pretty, but they're W's. I mean, I don't care. At the end of the day, in 10 years from now, they'll all look good under 7-0. The same thing with UCF. I mean, last year it seems like this is what they had to do. What you're doing, go through those tough games. Although they had a pretty tough game against Memphis, but you take a look at those type of, you know, notoriety, and you get a game like Houston. That's got to be just unreal for recruiting as well. Talk about that advantage from not just from the standpoint of a fan getting an opportunity to see two really, really good teams, a 7-0 and a 6-1 team, but from recruiting interest, because these kids like thinking, wow, this thing's a marquee game.
Yeah, I mean, this game, it's a 3:30 game on ABC and ESPN2. It's going to be a nationally televised game, and like we were saying earlier, it's two teams that in the American Conference that have been very successful recently, and they're both sitting with very good records right now, and a lot of young guys are playing for both of these programs, so it's going to be a really interesting game to watch, and there is there's quite a bit of recruiting implications that comes with it as well.
Good stuff. Dakota, how's everybody going to follow you the rest of the season? Give us a way to get in touch with you.
All right, so you can follow me personally at DakotaW247 on Twitter, or follow Bulls247 on Twitter for all the latest recruiting news or game updates, player profiles, all the good stuff like that.
Good stuff.
And also on Facebook, you can follow at Bulls 24/7 as well.
Awesome. Thanks, man. As always, we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Larry.
Good stuff. Dakota Wilson filling us in on the Bulls. Big game, as Tito and I were talking before. Very good Houston team. But South Florida's just, you know, reaching down for whatever they have. When we come back, we wrap things up for a Monday evening. Assistant coach Cedric Irvin from South Ridge will join us.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
More Sawgrass.com.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports.com radio show for a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein, Tito Bonach, as we take you up until 9 o'clock, just a few more minutes. Thanks so much to Toriano Morgan, Coach Toriano Morgan from Dillard, for joining us in the last segment, as well as Dakota Wilson, who filled us in on the University of South Florida and the way the Bulls are playing and the way they are recruiting. Big games this week, I told you, highlighted Central and Carroll City, 1-2, 1-2 in the state, 1-2 everywhere. It's one of those can't-miss games. I just can't understand for the life of me how ESPN wouldn't have jumped on that in 2 seconds and would have made that their big game. Although last week was kind of when you get a little bit of an answer when Central and Northwestern get together and have 47 penalties for 365 yards, and you kind of think, well, okay, that's why. Because I don't think they have enough time sold allotted to do that. But nevertheless, big games this week. One of the big games, Southridge, South Dade. This is Southridge win, and they win the district, and we'll get that high seeding. Last year, this team was in the same predicament and lost to South Dade and sent that thing into a three-way tie. But this year, watching Southridge, good team, young, a lot of young players, but a lot of veteran leadership. One of the coaches on the staff who's been around and has done it and seen a lot of them and played at this school, Coach Cedric Irvin, he joins us this evening. Coach, thanks for taking the time. Are you there?
What's going on, Larry? How you doing?
I'm here. I thought your phone blew up. Wow.
Oh, no. Nah.
So this is a situation that the Spartans have been in before, in the past with you, kind of recently. This year, though, some new faces. A lot of kids are coming together late in the season. I think it took the Carroll City game to kind of put things back in the perspective. These kids now see the light at the end of the tunnel. Big game this week, a game that has always been big, not just this week, but always. Talk about the team and where they are right now as we approach what could be the district title game.
Well, for me, you know, I always tell the guys it's always process before prize, you know, and throughout that process, you know, you're going to have some ups and downs, you're going to face some adversity. You know, it's all a part of the game. You see it every Saturday and Sunday, you know, watching college and pros. But we put ourselves in a situation where, you know, you're right there where you want to be. You know, one of the goals is to be district champs. And, you know, if you win it, you're district champs.
Right.
And so it's a young team, not a young team, but an inexperienced team. You know, I think out of 22 starters, I think only 6 or 7 guys really played last year. You know, so it's going to take a lot of, it's going to take games, you know, for this team to gel and get the confidence that it needs, you know, to compete.
You know, Coach, for you, this is a good, you love this. You love coaching. I know you love to teach these kids. And seeing kids that you've coached over the last 3-4 years, like Jordan Cronkite, who's now at University of South Florida and tearing it up, and you know, some of the kids that are at Columbus now that played for you over at Westminster. Talk about that feeling, to know that what you taught these kids in the 9th and 10th grade starting to pay off in a big way for them now, a couple years, you know, into the future.
You know, I think my joy come, Larry, is when, you know, a kid texts you out of the blue and say, thank you, coach. What you taught me are the things that you said, I see it now in life.
Right, right.
You know, or or you get a kid like, you know, you only have for a season, like Johnny Ford, to text you and say, Coach, sure, you know, I want to say thank you. I'm like, wow, what happened? You know, the speech you gave me, you know, just before the season or right after that first game I had when I thought, you know, whatever it is. So that's why I think I get my joy. And I guess when you do it like that, you know, it's something you said that helped another person or something you did. So, you know, you did your job.
And you know what? Not just at a running back spot, because I've seen you make the difference in guys like John Rain and kids like that who are playing tight end and some of the linemen that you've had and a lot of the secondary guys and the receiver guys. So it's not just the impact as somebody who's played in the NFL and somebody that knows the position and knows how to coach it, but somebody who is genuinely taking an interest in every player on your team, and you have. And so it's no surprise to me to hear that you get these calls, because you've been with these guys from, I mean, think about it. Some of these kids were eighth grade babies when you first got them, and now they're grown men. They're playing in college. So to me, that's probably an extra added special thing, you know, for you, and especially now that you're still coaching at this level. Talk about some of the kids that Southridge has that you expect, you know, to be pretty special over the next couple of years.
I mean, you can start with the run. You know, I coach running backs and special teams, and we have a running back in Reese, who's for his size, run hard.
Yeah,
I can see him getting a chance on the next level and taking advantage of being a guy in the next two or three years. Even his backup, which we call, I'm not great with names. I got so many nicknames with these guys.
Yeah, I think I know. Is that Young?
Cho, who's a smart kid and 3.0 student. He's a big back. But, you know, we got guys like Chris McDonald. You know,
yes.
if you had nine Chris McDonald, you'd win four state championships in a row.
Yeah.
What I mean by that, he's a guy that lead by example. You know, a guy that carries himself the right way, works hard, and his talent is really – you know, coming to front now his senior year. You know, he's one of the top corners, I think, in this, not just this county, but the state.
And he started in the state championship game as a sophomore. So, I mean, obviously,
right,
he's had that experience, and he's had a lot more experience than anybody else on the team.
Right. And it means something to him. You know, yeah, he's playing with a purpose, he's playing with a passion. You know, and you know, obviously we got Tyreek Stevenson, who's a big time recruit. You know, but when he decides to play, it's nothing like it.
Yeah.
but you know, we got some guys out there, man, that's working and doing what they have to do to put us in this position that we're in.
And a good coaching staff. I mean, guys that you're everybody's familiar with. I mean, you guys are, because this is being back home. I mean, this for you, this is really back home. I mean, you kind of like grew up here. Your competitiveness really got going here. You were part of a coaching staff back then that was considered one of the best around. Talk about that too, and what you've taken, because a lot of people don't know. I mean, people like Nick Saban, very influential in your life, you know, as a coach and you know, as a mentor. Talk about that.
Well, you know, I had Don Solinger.
Yes.
You know, when I was playing here at Southridge, he kind of prepared me for a Nick Saban.
Right.
And when I say that, Don Solinger coached at college level and also in the pros, you know, before he coached me in high school with the Davis brothers and all that.
Yep.
And his main things were structure and discipline and being accountable. And that's what I got, the same thing with Nick Saban. So, you know, you hear these stories about Nick Saban getting in people's faces and making people cry. Well, it couldn't get no worse than what I already received from Pop Warner to Don Solinger. So I was able to, you know, take whatever he was able to give at me.
Yeah.
But besides that, you know, I talked to Nick Saban 2 weeks ago, and we'll joke a little, but then we'll get on a note where, you know, I asked him a question or two about coaching to add to my coaching so I can be better. You know, he always tells me you got to be accountable.
Yep.
You know, and one thing you control is your work ethic. You know, he told me, you know, know all you can know on both sides of the ball. You know, and not just that, sometimes you got to teach other coaches to get to where you want them to be.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
So,
I agree.
So it's a great thing. We have a good staff, you know, a good young staff. You know, we got a guy like Coach Knight, you know, who leading the team. And he's an old head that we call.
Yeah.
But he's a knowledgeable guy. And we got a lot of young guys, too, man, that love the game and love to teach and love to be mentored.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. And certainly following a good path in football. Coach, I tell people, you know, the one thing about you, you gave 1,000,000,000% every time I saw you on the football field. Whether it was in high school, college, or the NFL, there was something inside you that you're teaching now that you just can't get. You just can't get without, you know, it has to be instilled in you. And I know that you grew up in an area where you were pushed all the time, and you pushed yourself, and look at the results. And I'm very interested in your kids, and I'm gonna follow your son all the way up, because he could be pretty special too. Maybe not as big as dad, but he's gonna be pretty good.
Well, yeah, it's gonna be hard to be bigger than dad, though. But if you do, but Larry, if you writing about him in the future, you know what? He made it, you know, because you're the guy, man. But the same thing you say about me—that's the passion and the effort and the desire that we see in you, or I see in you, that you have for these youth. You know, and I see the write-ups you make and the calls you make. And, you know, it's always a pleasure for me to see you, man, on those sidelines.
You too, buddy. Thanks so much. Best of luck this week, and we'll see you soon.
All right, thank you.
Good job. Great show. Cedric Irvin, assistant coach at Southridge, one of the greats. Great person, great molder of character. Dakota Wilson from USF, Toriano Morgan from Dillard, and Sedquan Smith from Miramar. Thanks, Tito Banach. We are back next week.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.